City Council will convene, reconvene after this recess. If you please end your conversations and please take a seat. We'll get back to taking testimony. Thank you for allowing us to have a bathroom break and your patience in sitting through this hearing. Carla, could you please read the names of the next three public testifiers?
Next three, please come on up, are David Villapando, Mike Smith, and Mike Rosen.
So David and two Mikes. 3 minutes each. No?
We have a budget.
At what time?
People waiting here for a ride.
So we're going to start out with 3 minutes. We're going to start out with 3 minutes, but council is most impacted by short, concise testimony. So we might nod off if you take the full 3 minutes. No, just kidding. Welcome. Please give us your first and last name, and you'll have up to 3 minutes.
Okay, my name is David Villalpando. I work for Univision Portland, the most influential Hispanic TV station here in Oregon and the Northwest. I'm from Mexico originally, and I'm involved with many Latino organizations, such as the ones who have some agreements with the city of Portland and the city of Guadalajara. And I just want to share this. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and ask you guys, and thank you for all this effort to bring football, as we call it in Latin America, and all around the world. Because for many of our countries, this is more than a sport. It's even bigger than religion for a lot of us. It's part of our families. Help our kids to be healthy, stay away from bad things. But especially I want to share a couple of thoughts. I feel like even we love football and baseball, and my kids play that because they are proud Americans and proud Mexicans. I believe the football soccer, it's one of the most inclusive and diverse sports, which for us in Portland will bring the opportunity to be able to invite people from Mexico and Latin America. And here in Portland and around Portland, we are over 400,000 Latinos. They are like still soccer a lot. And one of the biggest examples is, I think the biggest attendance for PGE Park has been when we have some games between some Mexican teams and even some of the games with the Timbers. Bringing an MLS team here will bring the opportunity to have, even on a bigger stadium, the opportunity for international games. I know that some professional Mexican teams are being here, and, you know, as much as we respect the Timbers and they are doing a great job, they are still not on the level where we can have bigger events. Last year, over Seattle Quest Park, they had over 50,000 people in an exhibition game. So for the city of Portland, it's going to bring a lot of opportunities to really bring a lot of people from all around and make this a successful in many, many different areas. So we totally support, and I speak for the heart of a Latino, that we believe that this is going to be a successful project. And I was amazed for all the bright minds around this room with a lot of difference, but a lot of common ground. And I know you guys can figure out the way to bring professional football to the city of Portland and make this a greater place to be. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Mike?
Thank you. I want to start out, it's Mike Rosen. I live in the city of Portland. I want to start out with a short disclaimer. I am an employee of the city, but I'm here today on a vacation day. I volunteer in my other life for Stand for Children. And Stand for Children is a grassroots organization that represents thousands of Oregonians that advocate in support of public education and children's issues. Sorry, this is new. I want to start out saying thank you to Sam and Commissioner Leonard for working so hard to provide the best deal for the city of Portland for Major League Soccer. I also want to say thank you to the Paulson family for working so hard to realize their dream for bringing Major League Soccer to Portland. My son is a sophomore at Cleveland High School. He plays on the Cleveland Warriors team. He also plays with Portland City United. I'm in favor of Major League Soccer, and as I left home this morning, he bounced a soccer ball off the back of my head. I've been a public education advocate for 10 years, yet I have friends that have been doing this for 20 years and continue to support the issue in the hopes now of securing stable funding for their grandchildren. The funding situation for schools, as you all know, and other essential community services is so dire that I now look for every opportunity, every penny, to secure education funding. Last week, I asked Commissioner Leonard what the City Council could do to keep schools in Portland open, and he responded there was nothing to do except hope for a long-term solution at the state level. Yet the city can refuse to commit URA dollars, in this case $15 million, to protect the Paulson family's investment. Last year alone, Portland Public Schools lost $5 million in general fund revenues to existing URAs. That equals 5 school days or a year's salary for more than 50 school teachers. Our city schools, our county, the services they provide cannot sustain any further losses in funding. I want to end on a more personal note. This is a photo of my daughter Emma and I at a President's Day rally in support of public education. This was taken 4 years ago. She attended her third Salem education rally a few weeks ago. The sign that she made says, "Every penny counts." In this case, we're talking about 1.5 billion pennies. She was right on then, and she's very right now. So, Commissioners Fritz, Fish, and Saltzman, please vote no on this deal. And Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard, with all due respect, please reconsider the wisdom of your proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Drew.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, members of the City Council. I'm Drew Mihalik, CEO of the Oregon Sports Authority. I first carry a message from Randy Miller, who is wanted to be here to support the MLS proposal, but he is in Washington, D.C., attempting to get more transportation funds for Portland from the federal stimulus package. I was also a member of the MLS task force, was delighted but not surprised to see an 18-0 consensus in favor of the proposal. The Oregon Sports Authority has been deeply involved in several efforts to attract a second major pro sports franchise to Portland. The opportunity before us to secure an MLS team represents the closest that we have come to achieving this goal. For the first time, we have a capable and fully committed local ownership group that is prepared to secure a team, and we have a league that clearly wants to be in Portland. I have no doubt that a modified PGE park in the heart of our city will be packed with passionate soccer fans for every MLS game, as well as World Cup qualifiers and other international exhibitions. The opportunity before us today is extraordinary. The commitment is unprecedented. I'm not aware of any public-private partnership where the private partner has taken such remarkable steps to ensure that the city's financial interests are totally protected. It's hard to imagine a proposal to bring a pro sports franchise here to Portland that will ever approach anything that that has been assembled. If our city should choose to reject this opportunity, it would send a very devastating message that new pro sports teams are not welcomed in Portland, and Portland is paralyzed in the face of a business opportunity. On the other hand, if we choose to embrace this chance to join the top ranks of the world's most popular sport, it will send a clear message around the nation and around the world that Portland is truly a city focused on progress, a message that will reverberate loudly for many years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
I actually have a comment for each of you. First of all, I've been to many of those President's Day rallies myself. I wanted to mention, Senor, that my sons and I choose to watch Univision rather than the English-speaking channels when we watch the World Cup because the coverage is so great. Mr. Mihalik, I had a question for you. Do you think that this proposal for a minor league baseball stadium would preclude the development of a major or diminish the likelihood of us ever getting a major league baseball team?
Not at all, Commissioner Fritz. If, in fact, we can show that the AAA team expands its attendance and shows that we are a vibrant city, as I know we are for baseball, I think it will allow Major League Baseball to take notice of Portland and be on their radar screen for when, if ever, there is an expansion at some time in the future or there is a team that's looking to relocate. So I see it as very positive.
This proposed stadium is not big enough for Major League, though. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we'd need to find another site for a Major League team.
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
We have a hugely successful NBA franchise. We have world-class college sports. Mm-hmm. We have youth sports that are in need of a little nurturing and support, which I hope to give them as the Parks Commissioner. And we have a reputation for being a sustainable city, and we have great amenities as a state. Do you believe that if we turn this opportunity down, it consigns us to Nowheresville, USA?
I think the message would be devastating. Given the kind of deal that's proposed in the sports industry, people will be scratching their heads wondering why on earth Portland wasn't ready to embrace this opportunity, given the protections that has been assembled. And just let me, you had one question earlier. The city of Denver was the same size Portland is today when it got its fourth major pro sports franchise. They're now going to have five. Portland is clearly capable of a second major pro franchise, probably is large enough to support three. But right now, we're the largest market out there in the country with only one.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Carla, next three.
Was Mike Smith here? Mike?
Okay. There you go.
Harley Wydell and Kay, I believe it's Rooch.
No,
Rachel. Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry.
And Ileana Machuca.
Harley, Kay, and Ileana.
I'm Ray Kutch.
Ray,
sorry.
Not Kay. Okay, I just checked.
You want to start?
Well, welcome to the City Council. I want to thank you for your patience in sitting through so far. Please just, all you have to give us is your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Ray Kutch. I'm the president of the USS Ranger Museum Foundation, but more importantly, I'm here today as a Vietnam veteran. I'm here today to support bringing MLS to Portland. Bringing MLS to Portland will significantly change the landscape of this city, I think in a very important and a very positive manner. I'm also here to support the Veterans Memorial. With regard to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and that a lot of people are just calling it the Coliseum, it is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Structures are finite. Memorials are infinite. This memorial needs to be preserved. Realize that the memorial at the Coliseum is primarily for World War II and Korean War veterans. This proposal to bring the MLS to Portland gives us a myriad of opportunities. One, to create a new venue as a memorial for all veterans. Two, to create a new baseball facility. As an aside with what Mr. Mihalik was saying, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I was a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, still am. The Beavers were a Pirate minor league team. I used to read in the paper almost daily what was going on in Portland because I wanted to see what players were going to come up to the majors. So what happens here in Portland does matter in the rest of the world. It will also create, approving this proposal will also create a revitalized vitality to the Rose Quarter. It will recreate infrastructure that has been deteriorating in that area. It also will create jobs. I ask you to support this proposal to bring MLS to Portland, and as an adjunct to that proposal, I ask that you preserve and expand the memorial in a new and sacred venue for all veterans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
I'm Harley Weidel. I represent a number of different veterans organizations. I normally, when I'm sitting in one of these chairs, I'm up here just pounding on the fact that we have to keep the Memorial Coliseum. This time around, I'm talking a little differently for the pure and simple reason that the Memorial Coliseum was dedicated and the veterans were told that they would have use of the building. They have yet to have free use of the building, easy granted use of the building. It is set aside for any number of things, but the veterans are not included. The real thing that veterans need is they need a memorial that they can attend anytime they wish. Anytime they want to go and pay homage to the people that have gone before, the comrades that they had and lost, we don't have it. We need one. We don't, we'll never get it at the Memorial Coliseum or anything that comes in its place. The Memorial Coliseum is the memorial, not the walls. And so consequently, if we were to decommission the memorial and commission a new one at the same time, we would be in a position where we could handle this in very good fashion. All of the veterans I have talked to, once the entire program is explained to them, they are very enthusiastic for the pure and simple reason they know that the Memorial Coliseum has not been available to them. They have felt that for years. And consequently, we would like to go ahead and appeal to the council to at least give us some time to talk about this. If this were done, the veterans would quietly leave the Memorial Coliseum and establish elsewhere. If it is not done, I know that the veterans will be very, very much against this entire program. Thank you very much for your time.
I also want to thank you, Harley, and Ray, and Tony, for all your work in organizing local veterans and bringing veterans together from the various conflicts and all the support that you give and your willingness to have this conversation. We're very grateful.
Thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you.
Aliyah.
So my name is Eliana. I'm a staff member of Portland Jobs with Justice. We're a coalition made up of 85 member organizations fighting for workers' rights. We're unions, community, and faith organizations. When this issue came to our attention at our last executive board meeting, we knew we didn't have a lot of time, but did discuss what our response would be. While we weren't able to come to complete consensus about whether or not we would support or oppose it, we did share common concerns that in this economic times, what guarantee do we have that if this plan goes through, that all of the workers will earn a fair wage? When you're talking about job creation, we want to know what kinds of jobs those are and who's going to actually pay for that wage. When I was first hired, the first time that I spoke at City Council was to bring to attention the City Council that the concession workers at PGE Park were entitled to $10.28 an hour per the Fair Wage Ordinance, and many of them were still earning minimum wage. The city did rectify the problem. The workers did get the pay increase, but it was through a city subsidy. It was our belief at that time, and I think that it was shared by the council members at that time, that those workers should get that fair wage, but that in the future, the city should not be subsidizing that wage, and that it's actually the responsibility of the employer, the private partner, to pay that fair wage. And so in the future, we would make sure that that got negotiated up front. And so here's where we are. We're feeling that we're now at the future, and we want to make sure we're recommending, you know, that all of the construction be in compliance with applicable living wage, with the living wage laws, that the living wage or the fair wage also includes those who work for the stadium, but also the subcontractors, so there aren't those that are left out, and that the city's fair wage policy shift from being a subsidy to being something that actually the employer takes that responsibility. And so, but we also, I wanted to say, a couple people who wanted to testify had to leave earlier, but we also feel that in the long run, we do need to look at the Fair Wage Ordinance. It needs to be revised and updated, and it needs to extend to all city workers and city-funded projects. So we're going to be looking for leadership from City Council to kind of reevaluate that, what that fair wage is and who should be getting access to it. But we also, as we look in the at these economic times, we want to make sure that we have good jobs. Another place that we want to really focus on is the fact that workers should be able to organize. And we do know that on the state level, there are making some strides to make sure that happens. But until then, we need to leverage what we do have to make sure that people have a minimum. And we will be looking forward to working with you regardless of what happens here and making sure all that other stuff, those things get met. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I have a question for Eliana. And that is about the Justice for Janitors campaign that had to happen at the Memorial Coliseum. Were you involved in that at all?
We were involved peripherally as support. We understand that it did come to the City Council, but for other reasons with our partner, never quite made it. So we are we're looking at trying to look at all of those, but I'm not exactly sure what happened and why they didn't move forward in City Council.
Mayor Adams is telling me he knows, so I'll ask him at the end. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Carla, the next three.
The next three are Shelley Lorenzen, Jeremy Wright, and Abram Goldman Armstrong. Excuse me.
What was that last one?
Abram Goldman Armstrong.
Okay. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Thanks for your patience. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Shelley, you were first.
Thank you, Mayor. Shelley Lorenzen. I'm testifying on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League would like to clarify some issues that were discussed today and also pose a few questions to Council. As you know, and I think it's important that everyone in this room and in the city understand that urban renewal is an extraordinary financing mechanism. Because with a stroke of a pen, the City Council can reach out and take pieces of the property tax pie that actually belong to our public schools, our county, and our city services fund, and divert them to particular capital projects in a specific part of town. To say that there's been some discussion today, and I want to make sure that we're clear on what's really being said. There's been discussion today that the general fund will not be impacted. And this is simply wrong. And I totally agree with Ken Rust's description of how the urban renewal financing works. But I think we need to make sure everyone is clear about the distinction between impacting the general fund from a liability perspective versus impacting the general fund from an income perspective. These dollars, ordinarily would flow to the three different taxing jurisdictions plus others, the schools, the county, and the city. To the extent that you dedicate them to the remodel of PGE Park or to a new stadium in the Rose Quarter, those dollars will not come into the general fund. Under this proposal, the city would divert at least $33 million in property tax revenues from school, county, and city services to convert a recently remodeled multi-sport stadium to a soccer-only facility and to build a new stadium in the Rose Quarter. And Commissioner Fish, you've raised this issue about there being no impact in the Rose Quarter area, but while Mr. Rust is correct that there is a cap on the TIF that can be collected, the TIF that is collected would otherwise flow, if there were not an urban renewal district there, to the city, county, and general fund. Or those monies could be spent on other projects. So it's not that there's no impact. It's just simply a limitation. So finally, I would like to say that, I guess I'm running out of time very quickly, you use the analogy of wanting to go, you know, we're getting engaged, not married. I think it's important. I wouldn't want somebody half-heartedly proposing to me on the theory that, well, I can jilt her at the altar. I think you really need to look at this urban renewal piece. Bringing MLS to Portland is an exciting prospect, but it should not come at the expense of schools, county, and our city services. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shelley, for your testimony. Jeremy?
Hi, my name is Jeremy Wright. I am representing MLS to PDX, which is a grassroots group of folks who support bringing Major League Soccer to Portland, and I'm a proud Timbers Army member. I would like to start with remarks today with somebody who's a lot more eloquent than I, our president. Only a few weeks ago, on February 24th, President Barack Obama stood before a joint session of Congress and said the following: "I reject the view that says our problems will simply take care of themselves, that says government has no role in laying the foundation for our common prosperity. For history tells us a different story. History reminds us that at every moment of economic upheaval and transformation, this nation has responded with bold action and big ideas. In each case, government didn't supplant private enterprise. It catalyzed private enterprise. It created conditions for thousands of entrepreneurs and new businesses to adapt and to thrive. And I submit to you that is a challenge you have before you today. Will you be a catalyst with an excellent private partner in Merritt Paulson to bring Major League Soccer to Portland, create jobs, and revitalize important areas of our community? What we're also asking you today is to be a catalyst in investing in our community, investing in things that make Portland so unique but don't necessarily show up on a spreadsheet. Throughout this process, and today you see a lot of people out here wearing green and white scarves, probably almost 100 folks came today, and I'm very happy they did. These folks obviously are proud members of the Timbers Army. But throughout this process, I've also heard that people say, oh, we know the Timbers Army supports this, but what about regular folk? When you look at this monolithic sea of green and white, I would like everyone to actually take off your green and white scarves right now. What do you see now?
Land.
I hope you're stopping there.
What I see, and I actually polled these professions before I'm speaking today, is doctors, veterans, active servicemen, beer truck delivery men, students, young and old, teachers, postal workers, cabbies, writers, musicians, brewers, and yes, a lumberjack.
Nice.
We are taxpayers and voters. Many of us also have parents with kids in Portland schools. Some are here today. Most importantly, we are Portlanders. We would not be out here in the numbers you see here today if we felt this deal would be bad for our children or the most vulnerable in our society. We do not support this proposal out of some blind love of soccer, although that love is very real, clearly, but because we know this is a proposal that is the right time, the right deal at the right time with the right owner. We know opportunities do not come along like this very often, if ever again. Heck, groups like the Timbers Army do not come along very often. We believe deeply in this club, we believe in this community, in our city, and we believe in this owner and this proposal. And we hope you share that commitment. I urge you to vote yes on this proposal.
Thank you, Jeremy. Abraham?
I think I'll start by putting my scarf back on. Yeah. My name is Abram Goldman Armstrong. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, I'm here to tell you why Portland deserves a Major League Soccer team. This isn't the first time I've addressed a board of elected officials to ask for approval for a soccer team. I grew up in a small town in rural Oregon where we didn't have a high school soccer team. As a freshman in high school, I banded together with other soccer players and our parents. We formed a club team. We organized the team. We organized all of the matches against other schools. We bought uniforms, built goalposts, played as a club team for a year. At the end of that year, we stood before a very conservative, very anti-soccer school board and asked them to approve soccer as an official school sport. We'd shown that we could manage a club team and that we had a love and a passion for the game that was going to be sustained. And this conservative school board put aside their fears and voted yes for soccer. Ever since that day, I'm very proud to say that Yamhill Carlton High School has had boys and girls soccer and had some excellent players come out of the school. I stand before you today asking you to do the same thing. Merritt Paulson has shown that he can run that club team. He appreciates us as fans for our passion, as rambunctious and rowdy as we can sometimes be, and he shares our passion for the city of Portland and for the Timbers team. And I'm asking you today to help Merritt Paulson take that club team to the next level. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Abraham.
Ask one question. Kelly, I want to just come back to your comments, and we'll have a chance to have Ken Russ come back after all the testimony, and we can ask him some follow-up questions based on what you said. But I want to take the metaphor that we're maybe overusing here about dating and getting married. So my understanding is that we have to make a decision today or tomorrow on whether we enter into a conceptual agreement, which then puts the clock, puts Major League Soccer on the clock to decide whether we get a franchise, which then is would be followed by a more robust negotiation dealing with the various financing pieces with a lot of opt-outs for the city if they can't happen. That's, I think, that as it's been explained. So, I mean, with the point that you make about not entering into this in a half-hearted way, I think is very powerful. So assuming that Major League Soccer's deadline is firm, and I have no way of knowing one way or another, we are, in effect, being asked to make a leap of faith today, from what I can tell, as to whether there is going to be an opportunity down the road to close the deal. Now, well, one thing I've learned is that we have all the opt-outs in the world, but I don't know whether we can make the deal. And I guess the question I had for you, in light of the concern you've raised about urban renewal-based funding, are you urging us to turn the deal down because we can't nail that down, or are you urging us to be very mindful of that issue at some later date?
Well, I think a couple of things. You know, there's I was trying to recall, and I was having a feeling of deja vu, and I don't remember the specifics, and perhaps Mr. Janik could address them, but I recall when the original PGE deal was done, the city council, I believe, was asked to sign off on an agreement, but were not allowed to see it. And there's, I have this, you know, this sort of deja vu feeling came over me again that you are being asked to make a very significant economic commitment, at least in sort of a letter of intent form. And maybe it's not contractually binding where there could be a breach of contract suit brought. But it will certainly, if you sign a letter of intent today and then walk away from it later, I think that does affect your relationships in the sports world, in the community, and, you know, as a city with whom to do business. I think it's, I find it astounding that there have been conversations going on for 2 years about this, and that you are given the final document today, and the public has not seen it at all. So yes, I think we would say, I don't know how firm those what the MLS deadline is, but I think it is, it's not right that you, our city council, has been put in this position.
If I could clarify when you're done.
So at least I think that we would be asking that you pull from that letter of intent the urban renewal, even the condition that you would look at, because I think that you are effectively making a moral, if not a contractual, commitment to create an urban renewal district, and the buck stops with you, so it isn't like you can say, well, it's conditioned on some third party making a decision that we can't. So I would ask you that you would pull that piece out of the financing. And best case, I think you have an obligation to this community when you're talking about a deal of this size and this enormity to take your time, read that paper, see if it says what Mr. Janik says it says. I haven't read it. I don't, you know, I like to see things for myself. I like to read them. I like to have my own legal analysis done. I think you owe that to this community. I think you should explore their financing. I think the biggest beneficiary of this stadium might be the Mac Club. Maybe they would be in for a few million dollars. You know, I just think it's, we get to these junctures. We've seen them before. We always get to this point, it seems like, on these big deals where we saw this in the Siltronics deal. We're up against a wall. We have to make a decision now. We have to commit hundreds of millions of dollars, and we don't know what the fine print says.
So if, if I could provide some clarifications. And I appreciate your comments. The conversations about soccer in terms of negotiations haven't started until the City Council approved the process that included the task force. This is a memorandum. This is a goodwill agreement. It provides shape. It provides intent. There's no question about it. When the definitive documents are completed, unlike PGE Park, they will be a matter of public record. And this is agreed upon by our private partner. So that will be different, but we're not at that stage. There are no, there are no definitive documents. PG Park, they were withheld. That was a mistake. They're not going to be withheld this time.
I understand that. But in the corporate world, when you sign a letter of intent, that is a good faith commitment to go through on that deal unless there is some extraordinary reason.
The task force findings, the task force work, all of that has been aired out, and we use their conditions to shape this document.
But I don't think the urban renewal issue was analyzed by the commission. I heard the radio program, Mr. Paulson as well as the chair have conceded that they do not totally grasp the intricacies, and I understand why. It's a very complicated area. It's incumbent upon this council that you do that, and to do that in a very thoughtful, in a thoughtful way.
Thank you.
I would just like to follow up with the public process. As you pointed out, the task force has been meeting since last year in December. I've been able to attend or watch on video every single one of those task force. This has been a very public process. We've had the opportunity to comment on this as it's gone along. The task force findings have been available for at least 3 weeks. So,
to me, they weren't.
Okay, well, they were on the website, their task force website. So I guess my point here is that when I'm taking a little bit of umbrage when you say that this has not been a public process, when in fact I've been participating and viewing and watching all along.
Thank you all for your testimony. We need to move along.
The next three are Carrie Russell, Sean Moran, and Kip Kesgard.
Carla, how many left? How many?
Thank you. Instead of Sean Moran, Bruce Eaton, probably about 30. And they will be followed by Richard Minigello, Catherine Watts, and Thomas Harrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Thank you for your perseverance. Please just give us your first and last name. You'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Carrie Russell. Mayor Adams and Commissioners, I thank you for the opportunity to speak on this topic today. My comments are short. I believe the City Council has shown great diligence in reviewing the details of this proposal. I know Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard have performed a lot of negotiation with Mr. Paulson, and this investment in improving city assets and bringing Major League Soccer to Portland is a sound one, in my opinion. As a city resident and taxpayer, I'm glad to know that you're putting these kinds of careful thought towards how my dollars are spent, and I appreciate that. That said, I'm also aware there are no zero-risk investments, but the plan before you today is carefully constructed to insulate taxpayers like myself from much of the exposure that's inherent in large capital projects. Large-scale visionary projects like the one we're considering today are the building blocks of a vibrant city like the one we live in. With this investment, you provide two new places for Portland citizens to gather, connect, and build stronger communities. Mr. Paulson has shown a truly rare level of commitment and interest in the future of sports and business in Portland. And with the city's partnership, Major League Soccer will flourish here, and the effects will be broad and far-reaching. The time is right. I believe the investment is sound, and I ask that you please vote yes today to bring MLS to PDX. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Good afternoon. I'm Kip Keskard. I live out in southeast Portland. I'm a proud member of the Timbers Army. I'm here to read a letter from a very good friend of mine, Gary Sunderland AFC Lamb, who we had the pleasure to meet 3 years ago. And the letter says he lives in Seaham, a small town in the northeast part of England. He's been a soccer supporter for all of his life, following his club all over the world, to the extent that he has visited a total of 22 countries, including Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, Canada, the United States on three separate occasions, and all over Europe. During this time, he has not missed a single game for 33 years, for both home and away, and met some wonderful supporters from other countries around the world. He has read on the internet that our team, the Portland Timbers, are currently considering a move to the MLS, and he would like Well, I would like to take this opportunity to tell you of an experience that he had with 1,500 Sunderland fans that visited the Rose City in 2005 for an exhibition game. They were on a tour of Canada and the West Coast of the United States, taking in three games in Seattle, Vancouver, and ending in Portland. He met some great folks in the first two cities, but when he arrived in Portland, he experienced the kind of hospitality that he has never had the pleasure of seeing anywhere else in the world. They arrived in Portland 2 days prior to the game, booked into the hotel, and proceeded in downtown Portland. Dressed in their team colors, they walked around town and were amazed by the Timber supporters that thanked them for coming and were greeting them, inviting them to a meet later for a few drinks. They agreed to this and went to a bar that evening called the Bullpen close to PGE Park. They were expecting maybe 10 or so supporters, but were met by over 200 of us. They adorned us with team scarves and other gifts, refusing us to allow to buy a drink. Then at the end of the evening, they arranged a house party to take us there. The hospitality, friendship, and support were on a scale that they have never experienced elsewhere in the world. So much so that Sunderland fans who have visited the city have now taken the Portland Timbers as their second team, with the reverse happening with many of us. Friendships have grown so strongly that a group of 32 Timbers fans, including myself, came to visit Seaham in England the following year, where we had the opportunity to repay their hospitality. And we've since, Gary and his friends have revisited the city, this time bringing wives and partners with us to experience the Timbers fans. He says, your city and your fans deserve MLS soccer, and your teams and fans are already famed around the world, and MLS status will only improve for both you, your city, its fans, and the team. He ends by saying, thank you, Portland. You gave us friendship, hospitality, and memories that we will treasure for our lifetime. Good luck in gaining MLS status. If ever a city deserves it, it's Portland, Oregon. The Rose City is really a special place. Sincerely, Gary Sunderland AFC Lamb, voted England's most loyal football fan in 2005. Thank you for your time. Bring MLS to Portland.
Kip, I just wanted to say thank you for your particularly thoughtful emails.
I also thought it reminds me, I thought it was very interesting that the online Guardian newspaper had a very robust debate on pro and con should MLS come to Portland, Oregon. So, sir.
pardon me. My name is Bruce Eaton. I live in North Portland. I want to give you a little history lesson here. So I want to take us back to the 70s. I know that a couple of you on the council are native Portlanders, but those of you that aren't might be interested in this. In 1975, this little town of ours put forth a soccer team named the Portland Timbers, and clad in green and white with a bit of yellow for show. Their logo, an iconic mix of a double axe and chevrons representing the mountains and building off of the old Metropolitan Recreation symbol that used to appear at all of the sporting venues in the city. The Timbers endure to this day, in the same stadium as before, a bit cozier, but the same place where lightning struck so many years ago. During that first year, who could have predicted the ride they would take us on? Soccer Bowl 75, and an extended love affair that you see evident before you today. I want to talk about some of the players from those Timbers teams, old and new. Willie Anderson, Jimmy Kelly, Brian Gant, Bernie Fagan, John Bain, Tony Betts, Bill Irwin, Gavin Wilkinson, Scott Thompson, Lee Morrison, Tom Poeltl, and the late Clive Charles. All of those men made Portland their home during their playing days. All of them made Portland their home after their playing days. I emphasize this because today, soccer itself would not be where it is in this city if these men went home to England or Canada or California. All of these men contributed to our local economy. Some of them started small businesses, raised their families here. All of them coached our kids, bringing the level of Portland soccer at the youth and college level to national prominence. FC Portland, Eastside United, Wilson High School, Catlin Gable School, Oregon Episcopal School, Bridal Mile Soccer Club, Warner Pacific, and two-time national champion University of Portland women's team. Because of these athletes with funny accents and quick wits, athletes, watch ambassadors, the building themselves are brick and mortar, physical infrastructure, concrete and beams, iron and cable. But these men who arrived brought with them more, much more. They brought the human infrastructure of the game of soccer and touched thousands and thousands of lives along the way, kids and adults, children and their parents, the human infrastructure. If you have any doubt, look around these chambers today. Their legacy is the human infrastructure of those who call themselves soccer fans and those who call themselves Timbers Army or Timbers fan. This group from every walk of life, every class, every neighborhood, every orientation, we are part of the living legacy. We are Portland, as much as any taxpayer can be Portland, as much as any resident can be Portland. We are Portland. We are engaged and we are involved, and all we are asking for is your help.
Thank you, Bruce.
Next three are Richard Menegello, Catherine Watts, and Thomas Harrison.
So Richard, Catherine, Thomas.
We have, and after them will be Dan Eager, Michael Pearson, and Ian Todd.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. Thanks for your perseverance. Please just give us your first and last name. You'll have 3 minutes. Start with Richard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Rich Menegello. I'm a resident of Portland and a local attorney. I'm a proud member of the Timbers Army as well. I'll keep my remarks very brief. I brought a picture of my 7-year-old daughter, Lucy, in her Timbers Army regalia. She and my wife go to as many games as they can with me. She originally had one of these scarves as well, but when she first started going to the games, she was too short and would trip on them, so her grandmother made a scarf for her, as you can see here. One of the other Timbers Army members that we didn't know gave us patches to adorn it as well. It's been lost several times and always found, and people know to bring it to the top of Section 106 where we sit. She couldn't make it today as she's in school, so she asked me to read a letter that she wrote to you. Dear City Commissioners, I helped her with that word. My name is Lucy, and I am in first grade. I like soccer very much. I played on a team this year, and it was a lot of fun. I also like going to Timbers games with my mom and dad. It is a lot of fun because I get to yell real loud and no one tells me to be quiet. It would be great if Portland gets an MLS team. I think it would be a good thing for the city. I believe it would bring much-needed economic revitalization in the form of shovel-ready construction jobs and long-term jobs to the franchise.
You helped her with that bit, too.
She's a pretty smart kid. I also believe I also believe the placement of a AAA baseball stadium in the Rose Quarter would provide a much-needed shot in the arm in a moribund district, especially as part of a larger development project that's been proposed. I was relieved to hear that the ownership group has guaranteed the bonds and the costs of any construction overruns, as protecting the general fund and basic city services is certainly a necessary component to the deal. This is a truly unique opportunity for the city with unprecedented... She misspelled unprecedented there.
She's grounded.
Unprecedented private resources being offered as true investments, and in my opinion, certainly justifies the expenditures that go along with the creation and extension of the urban renewal districts. I recognize that these are troubling economic times, but I don't believe it is cause for us to shrink away from this possible deal. I believe quite the opposite, that the city should step up and act boldly in order to face the challenges, and that MLS to PDX presents just such an opportunity. I fully support the proposal and hope that you do too. P.S., I wanted to remind the council that I will reach voting age in December 2019. Thank you very much.
Brilliant daughter. Catherine.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. My name's Catherine Watts. I'm a lifelong Southeast Portland resident, mother of a lovely 9-year-old daughter, also a soccer player who could not be here today, and a taxpayer and a proud Timbers Army member. My first Timbers match was the first match of the 2006 season, and I feel like I found a new family. People from all walks of life coming together united in a common passion. I was infected with the Teamsters from the first match on, both the team and the fans. As a taxpayer, homeowner, and average citizen, I vote to support bonds and levies that benefit schools, parks, libraries, and more. I give to my community both my money and my time. But a city is more than just the services it provides, and it is never defined by them despite their importance. Just as important is the opportunity for its citizens to escape their daily routines and unite in the common passions, whether it be the Blazers, who have defined Portland as a one-team town for many years, or now the Timbers, who have an opportunity to move to Major League Soccer. I never imagined that I would have the need to be up in front of the City Council asking for something, but I am here to ask for your vote in approving the proposal that would bring Major League Soccer to Portland. This is right for Portland. It will benefit all to choose to involve themselves with it, and it will work for the city that works. Thanks.
Thanks, Catherine.
Excuse me. My name is Thomas Harrison. Over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk about bringing Major League Soccer to Portland. There's been a lot of talk about how in these tough economic times, the city of Portland should not invest in renovating PGE Park for the Timbers and building a new stadium for the Beavers. There's been a lot of talk about the money to be made with Major League Soccer and the tourism and events that it could bring. But I'm not here today to talk about money. I'm here because there's something far greater that people, for the most part, have not been talking about. For most of us, the Timbers are not just the team. And to all of us, the Timbers Army is not just a supporters group. We're a community. A community in which all are welcome despite age or race or class or income or location. And one of the greatest qualities of our community is our generosity. Timbers players have donated to Locks of Love and organized a bone marrow donor drive. The Timbers Army has volunteered and donated money to Habitat for Humanity. We have twice volunteered to answer phones at OPB pledge drives. And last season, we even made a special batch of the world-renowned No Pity Scarves, which this is the actual scarf I'm referring to, not just the No Pity Scarf, but this is one of the 150 special No Pity Scarves that were funded entirely by the Timbers Army and donated to Dornbecker's Children's Hospital. Some donated as much as $120 to make that possible. This is also not factoring in any of the money that has been spent by members of the Timbers Army in attempts to bring friends and family to matches. I've witnessed members of the Timbers Army pool money together spur of the moment to buy tickets for other members and even random people off the street. There's even a woman who was kind enough to hand knit a stocking cap for my daughter with the letters PTFC on it, all in the interest of spreading the love. Not just a love of the team, not just a love of the community, but a love of Portland. The city of Portland is one of a kind, and the Timbers Army is a shining example of what this great city is and what it is about. Whether you can explain it or not, there is just something that draws you in. You can't help but feel comfortable and welcome inside of it all. And whether we're talking about the city of Portland or the Timbers Army, you just can't help but take a look around and say to yourself, this is where I belong. Voting yes is not just a vote to bring another major league team to Portland. It's not just a vote to invest in the city of Portland. Voting yes is also an investment in the Timbers community, one that may cease to exist if we pass and the USL goes under. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Next three are Dan Eager, Michael Pearson, and Ian Todd.
And Michael and Ian.
And they'll be followed by Stuart Spring, Eric Weisgross, and Chris McGuire.
By now you probably know the drill. Dan, you're first up.
Okay. First off, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you today. Esteemed commissioners and mayor of this fine city, I stand, or sit, before you as a Washingtonian, your neighbor to the north. I also stand before you, a devout Timbers fan, a member of the Timbers Army. This team, these people, and this city hold a very special place in my heart. I consider Portland to be my second home, and I consider the Timbers Army as my extended family. I've been through many medical procedures over the past 2 years. It is the heart of these people, this city, the team, that have seen me through my darkest days. It's the diversity, the common caring of their hearts that keep me, excuse me, the common caring of their hearts that make me feel home when I come down the road, stand amongst my friends and family, and cheer for our pride and joy. The Portland Timbers are a part of the soul that makes up the city of Portland. Now consider the business facts. I reside 2 hours from here, make all the matches that are humanly possible to attend. And when I do, I generally reside in one of your area's hotels, eat at many of your restaurants, shop at your stores. I bring my hard-earned money to spend in your city. I am not alone. There are many others farther away than I and closer than I, but we all travel to Portland to watch the Timbers play, hoist a pint in a local drinking establishment, eat, enjoy the city with our kids. The bottom line to all this, we bring money to Portland. Let's see. Now, if you will indulge me a minute, envision, if you will, the exposure of Major League Soccer. The Timbers and the city of Portland would be stepping onto the international soccer stage. This would open up the gates to fans who have loved the game but honestly had no interest in seeing a minor league team. It would also attract those who are specifically fans of Major League Soccer. It would also attract the variety of other international makeups that make up this community, large Hispanic communities. Even if they were to only purchase a ticket, one item at the concession, a burger before or after a match, that money would be multiplied by numerous amounts. If they are like me, they'll even spend a little bit more. This is a financial investment in the city of Portland's future, one that will provide dividends beyond the initial investment, one that will improve the quality of life for everyone in Portland and even some of us Washingtonians. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Michael.
Commissioners, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come before you today and discuss this opportunity. My name is Michael Pearson. I'm a Northwest resident, and I understand that you guys do have a very tough decision in front of you. I work as a hedge fund analyst, and I understand that the economy that both the U.S., Oregon, and the international economy overall is facing. I also understand that your vote here today, it will have long-term ramifications on more than just two sports teams. It really is shaping the future of Portland. I can understand some of the points that naysayers have. They worry about the cost and cost overruns. They worry about downside risk to the city and county. But I'm sitting here urging you, telling you that you must vote yes. This deal is more than just a pair of stadiums. It's an investment in Portland's future. It's a sign to businesses all over the world that you are serious with working with people that care about this community and that will shoulder their share of the burden. It's a sign to Portlanders, both current and future, that you care about the community and that you will be willing to provide outlets to express that civil pride that we all have burning inside of us. I understand there's budget shortfalls, and I understand there's questions about the future. But learning from history,